And Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you today?
I am.
Me too. I am. And I'm really interested in diving deeper into your book here. I'm glad you've got another excerpt for us to review. It brings up some really great amount of curiosity for me as to how some things happen in the spirit world and kind of how you're revealing a little bit about, you know, there's something going on behind the scenes that we're not all aware of. And I'm interested in discussing that with you. But first, I'm really interested in how you arrived at your purpose. And I'm going to quote to you what you quote from the book. My purpose in life is to be in complete harmony with the source of everything. That's a powerful purpose. How did you arrive at that?
By understanding, recognizing that there's nothing better. And how I arrived at it was through dealing with getting rid of agents, spirit agents of the enemy, eliminating them as a force that was causing disease or discomfort or sometimes mental illness or whatever in people. And two things that are coming to me. One, of course, is the fact that whenever we were dealing with someone who was oppressed or possessed or whatever label you want to put on it by a spirit agent of our enemy, the setup to get rid of them, the entities, is to have a person declare that they want only God's will, no matter what the cost. Now, part of that feeds into my own belief system and my own faith, because once somebody said that, I know I have the authority to deal with the spirits, because they're very legalistic and they are subject to the will of God. And when you call them on that and you begin going through that kind of a process, it's over, basically. It's over in my mind, it's over in my spirit. I know where we're headed, particularly I know this person wants the will of God. Well, as I began to look at that, realize that, I began to see all kinds of things for myself and say, wait a minute, you know, do I want God's will no matter what? I want God's will unto death. And I'm not afraid of that, saying that, because I know that He is the author of abundant life. And it began to dawn on me that I needed to hold that in my mind and in my spirit as my ultimate purpose in life. And that's where it came from.
Okay.
It's led to other things that support that. But
most people view purpose as something that produces results or an actionable item or something that they do. You know, we are doers in this body, it seems. And when I look at your purpose, it doesn't say you're doing anything. You're really just being. Your purpose is more of a being than a doing. Am I getting that wrong, or?
Wow. No, but I don't, right or wrong, I don't know, but it's exciting that you bring it up, because immediately my role model, and this is going to sound esoteric to some people, but my role model is Jesus. And that's where Jesus was. His purpose was to do the will of the Father. You know, that's the language of the King James Version Bible language, but out of that, everything you do, you perform miracles, you pray in power, you speak in power, you operate in the presence and power of the source. So everything that you do that is productive within my purpose, which is to do His will, there's your power, and that is result, because that's the source. That's the source of all results that are worth anything.
Right. Right.
Does that make any sense?
It does make perfect sense. But it's a very good segue to the story that you tell in here about your feeling oppressed because someone was praying for you. You know, the power of prayer is obviously something that we really, I don't believe that we need to even go in depth into it. Science and medicine encourage prayer nowadays. The question I have is, you were feeling oppressed because this woman was praying for you. And she was praying in a different way than you believed you were supposed to go. But her prayer was still powerful and creative. Because you were,
oh boy,
you were feeling oppressed. So what was oppressing you, first of all, and then I'll get into the next question after that. What was oppressing you?
Clarify that question again. I'm not sure I'm clear on what you're asking me.
I felt oppressed. Those are your words. So how do I feel oppressed? How do I know if I'm feeling oppressed? Like, what does that feel like?
Well, I thought I described my feelings in the book, but I'm focusing right back to the situation. I had no energy. I was nauseated. I was depressed, wondering, what's the use? I was having all kinds of stuff. I could hardly get out of bed. And I stopped. I was driving my car. I happened to be on the Big Island of Hawaii. And I was driving my car, and I began to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? And I began pounding on the dashboard, and I said, Dad, what's happening? And boy, I got an immediate impulse to pull over and park and stop. And so I pulled over and stopped and just closed my eyes for a moment, and mainly because I felt lousy. But all of a sudden, I had this picture of this couple and in my mind, and Kit and Brian, bless them. I hope they're maybe hooked up with this and listening now. I haven't heard from them for years, but I realized just at that instant, I realized that Kit was praying for me. And that was the cause of the problem. And so I got to a phone right away and called them and asked if I could sit down and talk with them for a bit. Sure enough, she says, when I got there, I said, are you praying for me? And she says, oh yeah, we're just praying that you start listening to God and realize that you're supposed to start a new church and be our pastor. And boom, now I understood it. I said, I just told her, I confronted her and told her that no, it's exactly opposite of what I've been told to do. I'm not supposed to be. And what you're doing by praying that is you're causing chaos and confusion. You're giving spirits the license, if you would, to come after me and attack me. And I can't explain that any more than the man on the moon, but that's it. That's a legalistic thing. And these people were very, very spiritual. They had a couple of young kids who were also very spiritual. And the power of prayer, wow, it's there. But boy, it has taught me a lesson. As you know, whenever I ask if you want me to pray for you, I almost demand that you tell me how you want me to pray for you. I want permission so that we're together. We're joined at the hip, so to speak, and that I'm not praying against your wishes. Our dad does not interfere with our wishes. Sometimes I wish he would, in retrospect. But when we're hell-bent on anything, we get let go to do what we're hell-bent to do.
Right.
And it has become very important to me.
Well, this woman was praying for you, and obviously faith is very strong, and her prayer seems to get some response, but the response that it got was oppression, and I'm going to just throw the word in there, and you can disagree with me if you like, demonic oppression.
I would describe it that way.
What makes me curious with all that is, oh my gosh, if I'm praying for somebody, and it's not their desire or God's will for them, I'm actually creating, you're suggesting by this story, that I'm creating marching orders or instructions for demons instead of good things. Would you agree with that statement?
I would agree that it sure seems like that. who knows? I don't claim to know what goes on the other side. I just know that crazy stuff goes on, which has led us to all kinds of conversations on this website about quantum mechanics and all kinds of crazy things, because stuff goes on in that unseen world, whether it's a scientifically unseen or whether it's a spiritually unseen, there's crazy stuff that goes on.
Right. So there's a passage somewhere in the New Testament, and it says, you ask, but you do not receive, because you ask amiss. And how that was interpreted by me is you ask out of the will of God. And the only way to find the will of God is not in the Bible, but to go and ask directly from the source, what is your will in this situation? And what struck me, it's curious, is that I remember going to a evangelical church at one point in time, and they encouraged us to pray every day for friends and family who were, quote-unquote, not saved. And in their books, even someone who was attending a Catholic church was not saved. I think back that night, and I read your story, and I have to ask myself, well, you know, I actually followed their instructions, and I'm wondering what kind of harm I created in people's lives by doing that, without even considering or asking the source.
Yeah, well,
that's the intention. I mean, because they would always go, oh, well, it's God's intention that everyone be saved. Well, is it?
I think that question and your story kind of misses the point.
Okay.
Because the way you set it up, though, is the point. It has made you realize that you want to find out what God's will is, and that you took Jesus' half-brother James' statement is the reason you don't get what you ask for is you pray amiss. You're praying in error. You're praying apart from God's will. I think it's another way we might put it. And so it's that is a key issue. The stuff that goes on around it that we really don't have any ready explanation for, because once you try and get explanations for that stuff and you try to apply principles that you've learned from that stuff, you're going off on principles and you're not finding out what Dad's will is in this particular situation. I don't think I pray for anybody. I don't care how close they are to me. I don't pray for anybody unless they've requested it, and unless I've gone in, so to speak, and said, okay, is this how I should be praying for them? You know, to Dad. And I got to get a clear green light from him for me to do that. So I divorce myself from anybody. You know, I divorce myself from you even on that kind of thing, because you're very strong intellectually, and you're very bright, and you're very strong spiritually, and you and I both encourage one another to go to Dad. So that is always our agreement. And so sometimes I need to just say, wait a minute, Dad, what is your will in this situation for us? And you know, you and I are joined at the hip in a word that I don't think you like, which is ministry, and I don't particularly like it. In fact, whenever I write it, I generally put it in quotes because it means too many different things to too many different people. But what we are joined in the purpose, and our stated purpose on the website and everything I'm writing is to do one thing, and that's to be an instrument of Dad to draw people back to him. And we say that in that way because what we're meaning is probably different than most people mean by saying that. So, enough said. Get off on that.
Okay. One of the points that you do bring out that I think is very critical is that he honors, and I'm quoting you again, he honors our choices. When you say that, can you elaborate a little bit on how he honors choices? Can you give me an example?
I'll give you a perfect example. I think it's a perfect example. I was riding in a fairly large city with a man, and we stopped at a light, a signal light. And it was summer, and had the air conditioner off, and the windows were rolled down, and this woman handed a tract, a Christian, evangelical Christian tract to this guy. And he quickly looks at it and he said, "Madam, come here." And she walked back over the window. And he said, "This is exactly what I don't need and I don't want. Please take it back." So I'm just chuckling to myself. And he looks over to me and he says, "No, that's exactly what I do not need." Well, when we walk away from Dad, he honors that. Just like I have to honor, and if I've got any brains at all, I have to honor my kids who one of my kids wants to be left alone by me, I just have to clearly let them know, look, come anytime you want, but see you later for now.
Right.
You know, that's the pattern. You know, some people have said that, I'll quote, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, never forces his will upon you. I've found that to be true. So then, since he honors our choices, I want my choice to be joined at the hip with him. I want to be with him in every purpose.
Right.
That's it.
Well, so that's almost brings me back to that story that I was suggesting to you, that when people are praying for the salvation of friends, family, and the whole world, as they perceive salvation, what are they creating?
Well, and you just hit it on the head, as they perceive salvation. One of the things I'm given to write about, what's the word mean in the original? You know, the word means joined together again, past tense, joined together again with the source, with the creator, the creative source of everything. And that means that you were once joined before. So it's a crazy thing. It means that completion of that process of being joined together again. When you see that, then you don't have your own agenda as towards the salvation of somebody, meaning to you that he's going to come sit next to you in your pew in church, you know, which is the view a lot of people have. So that's long-winded agreement with what you just said.
Yeah, well, you really knock the point clearly out of the ballpark when you say this in the excerpt. Now hear this. This does not at all preclude you from having a totally different agenda given by the same
spirit. Right on. Did I say that? Wonderful.
That is wonderful, because what it does, in my opinion, is it directs them back, or directs anybody back, to the source to get their answer, not to Brad, not to Mark, not to church or Pastor Joe or Father Pete or any spiritual authority, the Dalai Lama even. I mean, go to God, go to Dad, go to whatever, by whatever name you wish to call God. Go there.
Yeah, by the way, the reason I put the he or him in quotes is simply because Jesus said there was no gender in the spirit realm. There is no man, woman, you know. God is spirit, to be worshipped in spirit and truth. And the word worship means to be focused upon, to be directed toward. And we have all kinds of symbols that we think of as that focus. But so when I say him or he in quotes, it just means it's the spirit that has the perfect attributes of a perfect dad and a perfect mom. You know, that's how Jesus introduced, really, it's the perfect spirit parent. So anybody wonders why I use that term, I think you do too, that's it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that clarity. So Brad, that's all the questions and curiosity I have about this particular excerpt. I'd really appreciate it if you continue to pull out more from the book so that we can have more discussions and help our readers and listeners go a little bit deeper. Are you willing to do that?
Do you want another excerpt?
I do. I think these are fabulous.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll get to work on that. Upload one probably today.
Thank you very much. Have an awesome afternoon.
Hey, likewise to you, my brother.